Okay, so we're back to our study of Ecclesiastes. Before we jump in to our text, let me just thank Brother Philip for taking the pulpit last week. Last week was Thanksgiving Sunday, and we had hopefully you guys had a good Thanksgiving weekend. Amen. Amen. So it's thanks to Brother Philip for delivering a timely reminder to give thanks to the Lord day and night. Right? There's a song like that, right? You got to thank Him day and night. No, that's a different song. That's why you don't know. But thank the Lord day and night. If you missed that sermon, it's available on YouTube. It is available on our podcast. And we now have Spotify. Who's Spotify listeners here? Yes, Spotify people. Very good. Don't worry about Apple. Get out of Apple if you're in Apple. But Spotify has podcasts. And we've added our Spotify, our podcast into Spotify. So if you're on Spotify, grab that. Subscribe to our podcast as well. Even the sermons in Ecclesiastes are there. So even the last sermon in Ecclesiastes is there as well. So if you missed that, you can go back and listen to them on all these media outlets. All right. So this morning, we're going to go to part three of Random Ramblings. And again, for those of you who have missed part one and two or have missed Ecclesiastes as a whole, this is another collection of proverbs that we're going to be taking up from our teacher, King Solomon. He began this collection of proverbs at the end of chapter 9, and it's going to continue up to the end of chapter 11. Okay? There will be, okay, I'm sure some of you will be happy to hear this. This is the third last sermon on Ecclesiastes. So after this, there will be two more. And that's it. We're done. Okay? Happy? No? On the last sermon, I'm going to send out a survey. Survey asking you for your opinion on how the study went. And I'm even going to ask on the survey if you have any questions. So what we're going to do after we're done taking up the whole book, I'm going to take your questions, and we're going to do a sermon based on your questions. Okay? Is that good? Yeah, because I know a lot of you probably have questions. You're just not asking. Yeah. Some of you have tons. Obviously, I'm not going to be able to go through all of your questions, but send in your questions, and we will go through the most, I guess, significant ones. Okay? Not the ones that, you know, are just, or doesn't make sense, or too, you know, too obvious. We'll go through the significant ones, and the whole sermon will be about that. Okay, this is going to be like 4 weeks from now, 3 to 4 weeks from now. Okay, so wait for that. Okay, so after that, going forward, we will have a couple of standalone messages before we get into the Advent season. Okay, we're already almost in the Advent season, the Christmas season, and just like the past 3 years, we will be taking up a short series of messages regarding the Christmas season. We're not sure yet what it is. We have an idea as the elders, so listen up for the announcement for that. But that, after that, it's off to another year and another book. Okay, what are the books we have taken up so far? I hope you didn't forget that one. Ephesians and we're going to finish up Ecclesiastes, okay? So it's New Testament, Old Testament, and then we're going to go back to the New Testament. So if you guys want to read forward, read ahead, the book that we will be studying in the year, in next year, starting next year, is the book of Galatians. Okay. Then after that, we're going to go back to the Old Testament. We're going to study Lamentations. Okay. I'm sure people will not be looking forward to that. I'm not looking forward to that. I'm happy. Why would I want to read the saddest book in the scriptures? But I'm sure there is something to learn from the book of Lamentations. So wait for that. In a couple of years, we'll be in Lamentations. If you want, you can read ahead right now. But read Galatians first, okay? Well, that's a preview on where we're going. But as for today, we're just going to go through these verses in Ecclesiastes. So let's jump right in. We finished verse 18 the last time I was here. So we're going to jump into verse 19. So verse 19 says this. Bread is made for laughter, wine gladdens life, and money answers everything. Now, a lot of us, we focus on that last part. Really? that's from Solomon? Money answers everything? Now, why? You know me. I hope you know me by now. I always ask a lot of questions. Why would Solomon say that? He's been taking up 9 chapters telling us money is vanity. Money is vanity. It's hevel. It's, right? And all of a sudden, money answers everything. What is he trying to tell us here? First thing I want you to note is that having money is not a sin. It's not bad to have money. Loving money is bad. It's a sin. Having money is good. Who has money here? Come on, don't be shy. Raise your hand. Like, you know where that money comes from? From God. Yeah, you're probably thinking, yeah, no, I worked for it. Where does your breath come from? Where does your health come from? From God. So that money comes from God. And it's not bad to have money. Don't be shy. I know a lot of you have a lot of money. I'm the only one who probably has none. I don't even have shoes. But yeah, having money is not bad. In fact, finance is happy that our church has money. They are. Yeah. Every time you ask them, can we do this? Sure. No need to present a business case, none of that. They just go, sure. Why? Because we need money in order to do the work of ministry. And that's all that Solomon's telling here. Okay? The trick with this verse is to read it backwards. Right? If you read it backwards, what's the first thing that it will say? It will say, money answers everything. What's everything? Bread and wine. That's all it is. It's that simple. In fact, if you remember a few verses back in chapter 9, Solomon says we should enjoy the simple things in life like what? Like bread and wine, right? Enjoy food. Remember that sermon? It was the video sermon that I did. Enjoy the simple things. Enjoy food. Enjoy your company. Enjoy your wife. Enjoy your job. Remember that? Here, he's telling us the same thing. Enjoy bread and wine. How do you get bread and wine? You need money. Unless you're a farmer and you grow grapes and you grow wheat and you, right? Unless you're self-sustaining, you need money. Money in itself is not bad. Loving money is bad. That's why when you read this, money answers everything. He's only talking about the bread and wine which brings joy to life. Now, I shouldn't have to say this, but I'm going to say it anyway. Don't eat too much bread. Don't drink too much wine. Okay. I want you guys to hear that. It's recorded. I said it, all right? You can drink wine, but not too much. You can eat bread, but not too much, right? And again, I shouldn't have to say that, but I did anyway. But here, the point that Solomon is trying to make is having money in and of itself is not sinful. It's not evil. As long as your money is not your God, only your tool. Because the money is like that. Money is like a tool. Money is like, it's like a hammer. When you use hammer the right way, it does good. When you use it to hit somebody else in the head, it does bad. It's up to you. It's your tool. That's why the scripture tells us, be good stewards of God's blessings, including money. Right? It's a tool, and a tool should be used for God's glory alone and not to be worshipped as God. Like what Piper says, work to live, live to give. Okay? We all need money to live, right? But we don't live for money, and we don't live for our jobs. Work to live, live to come, nobody wants to say it. Work to live, live to give. Okay. Don't worry, I'm going to make you say it because we're going to see in the text that that's what Solomon's trying to get to. Wise people, wise followers of Jesus are generous. And we'll get to that later on. Okay. But that's what it is. Money is just a tool. It should be used for God's glory. And again, if you think about it, it does answer everything. One commentary said this about money. Money is in the room of all things, and by it, men obtain everything they want and wish for. It answers the requests of all and supplies them with what they stand in need of or can desire. If money is used as a tool, that's what it should do. It should provide for all your needs and sometimes even your wants. But, again, you don't just live for yourself. You work to live, you live to give. We've had this sermon before, right? A lot of us have excess. Remember that sermon on excess? A lot. Some of you wearing the excess right now on your bracelets and on your earrings and stuff, right? We all have it. So don't tell me that you can't give, right? If you have something, you can give it. Amen? Anyway, I'll drill you a little bit more later on when we get to the text. 10:20. Let's move on. 10:20. Even in your thoughts, do not curse the king, nor in your bedroom curse the rich, for a bird of the air will carry your voice, or some winged creature tell the matter. So this proverb, again, is easy to understand, right? Don't speak bad. Don't even think bad of other people. Now here is the king. But you can apply this to other people. Don't think bad or even curse other people, even in private, right? Even in your own room. Because even though there you think that no one hears, there's always God who hears. Right? And he knows everything, and he will hold you accountable for every careless word that comes out of your mouth. That's the good and the bad of God being omnipresent, right? Right? God is omnipresent. He's everywhere. That's good, because everywhere we get in trouble, God's there. But everywhere you curse, everywhere you say something bad about somebody else, God's there too. Listening to every word that you say. I remember when I was a kid, when I get in trouble with my parents, I don't usually talk back. You can ask them about it. They can testify. I don't talk back. But in my room, I talk back. Sobra naman. Not in those words. I can't say the words that I say in the room. But I talk back in the room, in private, where they can't hear. Solomon's saying, don't do that, because a bird will hear. Somebody is hearing you. So even though you're nice to that person during church, shake their hand. And you get home. Oh. Somebody's listening. Somebody's listening, and whoever's listening, God is listening. He will judge you. He will hold you accountable for every word that comes out of your mouth. Check out Matthew 12, 33 to 37. Either make the tree good and its fruit good, or make the tree bad and its fruit bad, for the tree is known by its fruit. You brood of vipers, talking to the Pharisees, how can you speak good when you are evil? For out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. 35. Good person out of his good treasure brings forth good, and the evil person out of his evil treasure brings forth evil. 36. I tell you, on the day of judgment, people will give account for every careless word they speak. Every careless word they speak. For by your words you will be justified, and by your words you will be condemned. What comes out of your mouth is usually what's in here. And listen, I'm guilty of this. Sometimes I have to unload all that anger, all that frustration. And my wife is the recipient most of the nights that I have to sit there. And you know what this person did? And I have to unload on her. And sometimes I end up speaking up badly of the people that frustrate me. And just being honest, just being human, right? But Solomon's saying that's not wise to do. Even though it's only you and your wife that is listening, there's somebody else in the room with you always. And that's God. And so Solomon says the wise man shouldn't do that. Instead, the wise should pray for those who frustrate them and also pray for themselves. Wise counsel, right? Because, just like what Jesus warns us about, we will give account for every careless word we speak. And not just some word, but every word. So be careful what you think of someone or even what you say about them in private, because God is always listening. Think about that. Okay? Let that marinate in there somewhere. Let's keep moving. 11:1-2. Cast your bread upon the waters, for you will find it after many days. Give a portion to 7 or 8 or even to 8, for you know not what disaster may happen on earth. Again, this is the verses that I was talking about earlier. It talks about being generous. So cast your bread upon the waters without thinking about getting it back, and it will return to you, will find you after many days. And then it says, give a portion to seven or even to eight. Share your excess. Be generous. The wise man is generous. And listen, generous means with everything that you can give. Okay? But generosity is not about the act of giving itself. It is the attitude or the willingness to give when given the opportunity. So it's not telling us to just get rid of everything that we have and give. That's not being generous. Or how much you give. That's not being generous. Being generous is that willingness to give when given the opportunity. So when given the opportunity, what's the opportunity? Plate being passed. That's an opportunity to give. Somebody asks you for help. That's an opportunity to give. Even the homeless on the street, that's an opportunity to give. Somebody who needs, opportunity to give. To be generous is not how much you give that person. Are you willing to give openly, not begrudgingly give? Right? That's what being generous means, right? Being open or willing to give. Check out Proverbs 11:24. One gives freely, yet grows all the richer. Another withholds what he should give and only suffers. Does that make sense? Right? For some of us, it doesn't make sense. Right? When you give freely, how do you grow richer? You grow richer when you keep freely. Oh, keep. But the Bible says, no. When you give freely, you grow all the richer. Another, the one who does not want to give, only suffers want. You're going to want more and more and more and more. You will never be satisfied. You will never be happy. But when you give, you grow all the richer. Why is it like that? Right? Shouldn't the one who keep become richer? Right? That's what the world tells us, right? Let me read to you a quote from Randy Alcorn, author and founder of Eternal Perspective Ministries. He says this, the more you give, the more comes back to you. Why? Because God is the greatest giver in the universe and he won't let you outgive him. Go ahead, try, see what happens. A lot of us, we'll see that and like, I don't know. What if he doesn't? What if I give everything and then he doesn't give me? What's going to happen to me? Well, listen to what Spurgeon says. In all my years of service to my Lord, I have discovered a truth that has never failed and has never been compromised. That truth is that it is beyond the realm of possibilities that one has the ability to outgive God. Even if I give the whole of my worth to him, he will find a way to give me back. Or to give back to me much more than I gave. You know, Mark 10, the apostles, Peter tells Jesus, we left everything for you. We sacrificed everything. We gave up everything for you. What did Jesus say? You didn't give up anything. I will repay. If you lost a mother, I'll give you 100 mothers. Read it. If you lost brother or sister, I'll give you 100 brothers and sisters. If you lost land, I'll give you more land than you can ever use. So you didn't really give. And I said this last time I was here as well. We can't give God anything because everything that we can give him is from him. Right? We can never outgive God. So why is it that when it's time to give, I don't care if it's money, time, effort, whatever, it's so hard for us to give? Because we don't trust that God will give. We don't know God as a good giver. That's the problem, right? But to give by faith means to give knowing that we cannot outgive God, that God will find a way to give back to you whatever it is that you need, right? That's what it means to give by faith, to give above and beyond what you can afford, trusting, being convinced that you cannot outgive God. Have you ever tried? Who here has tried? That you can give, even though you know you can't afford it, but you gave anyway. Trusting that you cannot outgive God, that God will outgive you. You ever tried that? Come on, be honest. Some of you are honest, some of you are too. Yeah, right? Because humanly speaking, when you look at your spreadsheet, your budget, oh no, I'm in the red. You know what that means? You don't have. You need to pay your utangs. So what's the first place that you take out money from to pay your utang, to pay your debts? Offering. It's okay, God won't mind. And that's what it is, right? Why are we like that? Because we don't trust that God will give. We think that we are better givers than him, that he cannot outgive us, but that's not the case because he owns everything. Right? That's what it means to give by faith. Malachi 3:10. You guys know this verse, right? Bring to the tithe, the full tithe to the storehouse, that there may be food in my house, and thereby put me to the test, as the Lord of hosts. If I will not open the windows of heaven for you and pour down for you a blessing until there is no more need. Have you ever tried God, tested God that way? That you gave even though you know it's really tight, but you gave anyway, trusting that he will do that. But when you test him, he's not going to fail. Or, back of your mind, what if he does? What if he fails? What am I going to do? This is my last money. What am I going to do? Who's the most famous giver in the scriptures? The widow with the two gave both, gave everything she had. Right? Why is she famous? Because she gave everything she had, even though she couldn't afford it. The Macedonians gave out of their poverty. What do you think made them do that? Because they trust the God that they serve. That the God that they serve will not be outgiven. He will find a way to give you back. Because that's who he is. He's a giver. He cannot receive. Right? All he wants to do is give. You trust that? You believe that? I'm not convinced. Sure. Yeah, amen. Okay. Let it slide. Right? Now, Solomon's going to continue this thought, this train of thought of giving and being generous in the next verse, 11:3. If the clouds are full of rain, they empty themselves on the earth. And if a tree falls to the south or to the north, in the place where the tree falls, there it will lie. What does that have to do with giving? Listen to Johnny Mac. Johnny Mac said this. God made all of his creations to give. He made the sun to give, the moon to give, the stars to give, the clouds, the earth, the plants to give. He also designed his supreme creation, man, to give. But fallen man is the most reluctant giver in all of God's creation. I keep saying this. In my basic class, we had a basic class on Thursday. If you want to become a member, haven't been baptized yet, come join us this coming Thursday. Yeah, we'll have another one. But I keep saying this. All of God's creation are performing the way they should be. They're doing what they should be doing. Dogs are being dogs. Cats are being cats. Trees are being trees. They're all what they're supposed to be, they do. And when man tries to change them, like to have a pet tiger, what happens? The tiger became a tiger and ate the half of the face of the magician, Penn and Teller. Because that's a tiger is supposed to be a tiger. Only man is not doing what he's supposed to be doing. God made all of his creation to give. Only man is the reluctant giver. Okay? Look, let's bring it close to home. Okay? Christmas time is coming. So we spend all our money buying expensive stuff for ourselves. Then Vision Isaiah calls, opportunity to give. People with kids with cancer in the Philippines need clothes, blah, 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 blah. We need whatever, toothbrushes. And how much do you give? Some of you even give old toothbrushes. am I lying? How much do you spend on yourself versus how much you give? Look at that. I'm guilty of this too. Think about it, right? But that's what it means. Being generous is being willing to give when the opportunity comes. And there's always opportunity to give, but a lot of times we just end up giving ourselves.
I need new bag, even though you have 100 bags. I need new shoes, even though you have 100 shoes. When the time comes, comes time to opportunity to give, we don't give. We don't give to the needy. Check out Ecclesiastes. We keep going. Ecclesiastes 4 to 6. Let's keep moving. He who observes the wind will not sow, and he who regards the clouds will not reap. As you do not know the way the spirit comes to the bones in the womb of a woman with child, so you do not know the work of God who makes everything. In the morning sow your seed, and in the evening withhold not your hand, for you do not know which will prosper, this or that, or whether both alike will be good. So we're going to end here, okay? What is Solomon trying to say? Let's take it up one verse at a time, okay? 4 and 5 we'll take up, and then we're gonna tie it up with verse 6. 4, he who observes the wind will not sow, and he who regards the clouds will not reap. What is it talking about? It's talking about this farmer who, in observing the wind, regarding the clouds, failed to neither sow nor reap. So what was this farmer doing? This farmer is overanalyzing the wind. He wants everything to be perfect, waiting for conditions to be perfect. So as long as he waits, the wind is not cooperating with him, he ended up not sowing. And what else did he do? He overanalyzed the clouds, right? Waiting for conditions to be perfect. So instead of harvesting, he never got to harvest because he's waiting and waiting and waiting for conditions to be perfect. What's Solomon telling us? Solomon's telling us that the wise man will, in faith, walk through any door that God opens up for them. And hope that God will equip and help and be there for whatever they need, and ultimately work everything for their good. That includes giving. You'll never have more than enough. And then that's when you start giving. Because when you get more than enough, you're going to want more. Then all that excess goes to the more that you want. So when are you going to give? Right? We can apply this to a bunch of different ways, right? Not just in giving. You can apply it like to those of you single people. Singles, where are you? I know who you are. Listen, when you try to find that special someone, you usually pray for specifics, right? I want him to be tall, dark, and rich. Tall, dark, and rich. That's what we want. That's what we ask for. Specifics. Why not? Why not ask for discernment? Why not ask for guidance? Why are you asking for everything to be perfect the way you want it? Right? Because usually God doesn't answer that way. He'll give you something that you need, not what you want. Right? So he may not be tall, dark, and rich. He may be short, light, and poor. But he's the best for you. All you need is to discern that, to see that, oh yeah, this is it. Because a lot of times when we have this preconceived notion of who we want, we pass by those people. That's not the one. That can't be the one. I asked for tall, dark, and rich. That can't be it. He takes the bus to pick me up. No way. Right? So what do? Instead of doing that, we wait for the perfect one. Wait. He's coming. He's coming. He's coming. She's coming. 20 years later, you're done. Your expiry date is... No, don't get me wrong, okay? No, because some people just don't want. They're not even looking. But some people look and wait and wait and wait. The next one that comes off the bus, that's him. No, it's not. Next one. So you're going to be like the farmer. Neither sow nor reap, because you have this preconceived. Instead of asking for God's guidance and discernment, you ask for these specific things to happen. No, not work like that, right? When it comes to applying for a job, some people are so picky, waiting for that perfect job. It has to be this and that, pay this much, and I have to do nothing. I want to get paid and do nothing. Really? So what happens? You sit at home, and you marinate at home, jobless. house band. That's what they call the guys who don't work, house bands. Right? It's the woman that comes home. But that's what it is, because they're so picky with the jobs. They want perfect conditions. Again, when it comes to giving, you some people stare into their budget, into the late hours at night, just looking, where can I get money? Not to give, where can I get money so that I can go on vacation? Or I can buy new shoes, so I can... You're never going to give if you're that way. Perfect conditions are never going to come. You live in an imperfect world. When it comes to serving, and I keep telling this the last two Sundays, there are some who think that all kinds of excuses. I can't do this. I can't attend prayer meeting. You know, Sunday service, I don't know. I have to work. Join the ushers. No, I can't do that. All kinds of excuses. Why? Because they're waiting for the perfect time in their lives when they can serve. Some will wait. When I retire, I will serve. By then, I have nothing to do. And they retire, they get sick. That's it. You can't even go to church. It's, right? You're waiting for the perfect conditions. Now, what's the common denominator for all of these situations? A lack of faith. Right? Lack of faith. If this is you and you tend to overanalyze everything, you lack faith in God. You are not convinced that God knows your needs and is able to provide for each and every one of them. That's why you don't give. That's why you don't serve. Like in your mind, you're saying, what if I did give, but God does not? Where will that leave me? Or what if I did serve and give my time and effort to the work of the ministry? Where will I get the time and strength to handle the rest of the things that I have to do? What if? It's always what if, because you don't know what. You don't know God, and you don't know how God is a good giver. Look at what Solomon says in verses 5 and 6. Chapter 11. You do not know the way of the Spirit, the way the Spirit comes to the bones in the woman, or of a woman with child. So you do not know the work of God who makes everything. 6. In the morning, sow your seed, and at the evening, withhold not your hand, for you do not know which will prosper, this or that, or whether both alike will be good. Right? In verse 5, Solomon says, we are limited beings who don't know what's going to happen when we do walk through those doors of opportunity. Whether to give or to work in ministry, we don't know. We can't see the future. Then in verse 6, it says, we don't know when we sow our seed whether it will prosper or not. We are limited in our knowledge of the future, and that is true. None of us here knows the future. But God did not leave us like that when it comes to our knowledge of Him. We are not limited when it comes to the knowledge of God. He does not leave us blind to what we can expect from Him, whether it be in the present or in the future. How does God reveal Himself to us this way? Through His Word and His promises. That's why in Sunday school I told the class, this is how you overcome the world. Sanctify yourselves in the truth. God's word is the truth. You must know the promises of God, not just in scripture, but by heart. Right? Memorize fighter verses. Right? Romans 8:28. And we know that all things will work together for good for those who love God and those who are called according to His purpose. That's one. Right? Do you have any? Do you memorize any? I was asking the people in Sunday school this. Or do you have to go through the Bible? You should know this, right? You should know that there are promises out there that will help you overcome the world. Promises out there that will help you through difficult times, and especially when you are involved in ministry. Right? Check out some of these promises. We're just going to read a few. Isaiah 40, 29 to 31. I want you to read it. You guys read it. Right? Shouldn't that give you encouragement to go serve? Even the youth will get tired. But those who wait on the Lord will renew their strength. They will run, not be weary, walk, and not faint. Imagine that. Every time I go watch basketball, the one time I came, and I got injured after that, I'm watching all these young guys just run across like nothing. I'm like, man, how come they get to lift their feet that way and jump so high and can't do it anymore? Because that's our mentality, right, as Christians. I can't do that anymore. I'm too old. I'm too tired. I got so much going on in my life. I can't. But it says there, no. You, God will renew your strength. Do you believe that? If you do, serve. Right? Don't be scared. 2 Chronicles 7:14. Read it. Right? Those of you who are still debating the politics in the Philippines, you want the Philippines to be healed? Humble yourselves instead of jumping down each other's throats. Humble yourselves before God. Pray, seek His face. Turn from your wicked ways, and He will hear, and He will forgive, and He will heal. Do you believe that? Yeah, right. Then I could log into Facebook. All kinds of stuff, political stuff. Come on, look. It's right there. Maybe that's why the Philippines is not getting healed. You guys keep like you're going to make a difference. Only God can, right? Amen? Nobody wants to say it. Jeremiah 29:11. For I know you believe that? A future and a hope. He's not there for evil. Like what I said to you the last time I was here. People who nominated you don't want to see you suffer. That's why they nominated you. Same with God. He's not going to call you to service and make you suffer and what? You know, set you up to fail. No way. He wants to give you a future and a hope. Keep going. James 1:5. New Testament this time. Who here lacks wisdom? I do. Ask God. He's faithful. He will give you generously, wisdom without reproach. Mark 11:24. People love that. Read that in context, okay? It's not everything that you ask. It's just the one that's in the will of God that you ask. Okay? How come I haven't hit the lotto yet? I keep asking for it in prayer. Because it's outside God's will. You have to read the whole thing. But yeah, that's the promise. If you ask in God, in His will, abide in Him, ask. And it will be given to you. What else? Philippians 4:19. What's the key word there? According to His riches. Not according to the riches of the TTC where you work, or according to the Bank of Montreal, or according to your restaurant. According to His riches, He will give it to you. Right? So don't put your faith in your job. Don't put your faith in your skills to keep your job. Put faith in the one who owns everything. And according to His riches, He will supply all your needs. Last one, Romans 8:28. My life verse, Romans 8:28. And we know. Right? And if you look at that, the good that it's that God is working all things for is not just for you to prosper and But the good there is for you to become more and more like Jesus Christ, to be conformed to the image of His Son. That's the greatest gift that we can ever receive, that we can ever ask for, and that's what that verse is talking about. Right? So all these promises, we can take another hour and read all of God's promises. But one question remains is, do you believe? Has not God been faithful to you? What is the reason that you still are not fully convinced that God will come through with all His promises? Look back. Think back. That's what John Piper says, right? John Piper says that we rely on future grace for our needs in the present. But when doubt comes, when trials come, you don't look at future grace. You look at past grace. Yeah, God has been faithful. Back then He was. He's not going to fail now. He's not going to start now. Right? But that's what it is. And a lot of us, we don't. Even if we look back to the past grace, we still say, oh, maybe this time He will not come through. What kind of what kind of faith is that? Right? You have to have a kind of faith that you are so convinced that God will always come through because of what He's done in the past and what He's continuing to do now. And then in that faith, stand on it, and then I can't afford to give, but I believe. You give by faith. Yeah. This is not a sermon on offerings, okay? Don't get it. I'm not telling you to give more to the when the plate comes. That's not my point. My point is, if that's you, if you have that kind of faith, then I can't stop you from giving. Right? I can't. I can say here, no, what's your budget? Don't give too much. If you have a faith to give, I can't stop you. Right? Is that good for us? Yes. Why? Because money answers everything. We need it to grow our ministry even more, so that more and more people will have the chance to hear the teachings here, and for us to bring more people in, right? Promises all over the place in the Bible. Promises in your life has been fulfilled. Life experiences. You go back to all those things when you question yourself if God is who He says He really is. So do you believe? God is always calling us to put our faith in Him by being convinced that He will stay true and fulfill all of His promises in Scripture. Solomon is saying that the wise man lives that way. The wise live day by day dependent on God to fulfill all of His promises. That God is good and that He is faithful. That's why Solomon is saying the wise are able to enjoy life. That's the way to enjoy life. Just believe, trust that God will be faithful. No matter how short life is, no matter how unpredictable life may be, the wise is able to enjoy life because the wise is convinced that no matter what happens here on earth, we have a good Father in heaven waiting for us. Amen? You're encouraged? You look sad. This is the last encouraging thing I'm going to say until we finish up Ecclesiastes. Because next week, Solomon is going to be back to his old grumpy self. Okay? Next week, Solomon is telling us, enjoy life while you're young. Because one day, you will wake up and you won't enjoy it anymore. You will wish that you were already dead. That's next week. Okay? So have fun now. Enjoy. Enjoy the sermon now. Next week, that's what we're going to be talking about. Right? How the youth enjoy life while you're young. But young people, there's consequences to all your actions. But enjoy anyway. Right? The next thing you know, you have no teeth, can't see, can't hear. All right? That's what we're going to be taking up next week. Hopefully you guys come back again for that. Amen? All right, let's pray.